This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
I use the term smoke to fire as percolating to action. And there was a clip that I thought we were going to be able to grab that showed it in real life. And then I could have wrote the article. Is that how you remember it?
Yeah, I think it was from the Instagram meeting, Gary. We'll go back and find that clip and then go from there.
Cool. So in that, you know, and then I think you should watch that clip. And then I think I need a series of questions. But I think to give you a little for the blog post, Nuni, it's look, I use this term, you know, smoke to fire, the way other people use the term percolating ideas to action. It's kind of how I work. I think one of the reasons I'm able to, I also use the analogy of having 31 balls in the air and dropping 7 and this and that. Well, the reason I can hold 24 balls in the air is because I'm always on smoke. I'm always ideating. I'm always adding another layer. And then boom, whether with myself, what was cool about that moment is people can watch it actually happen. Oh shit, this was the last piece and now I'm ready to fucking build. Right? So I think it's an efficiency. You know what I've realized? People use tools for efficiencies and I use emotion and perspective and insight. And so it's funny how I think about this article. I think of it as a productivity article, but I, as a human, through my emotions and activities, am productive, where people think about productivity from like, you should have Slack and download this app and this and that. I'm not a literal productive person. I'm a theoretical, emotional productive person, which is a really interesting insight that I've never said. I know that D-Rock and Sid are like, huh? You know, like, and then the smoke to fire is one of those ways. The reason I think I can do so many things is I'm always in smoke mode, another idea. And so that's kind of where I'm going with this whole framework. You know, like, I could create a whole, just so everybody understands what's happening here. Here's another meta moment. The smoke of that is, can I create a new genre of like emotional productivity? Like, is that what I'm actually like embarking on? Like, will that be a book I write in 7 years? And that will be like my most impactful, like educational thing that I've done. Like, is it right now I'm like giving this mindset, like in the moment right now, I'm like, fuck, maybe that's what a lot of this is about, because that's definitely that. Smoke to fire is that I'm always ideating. I have 100 different ideation streams going on right now. I take something from this meeting that's going to help me with wine text. I'm going to take something from a gallery media, you know, 137 meeting that's going to help me in my speaking career. I'm going to write, you know, so I'm always doing that.
Okay, really? You know, oh, sorry.
Somebody's tagging in something today that talked about the group thinking is always better than the individual thinking. There was something that I saw on my Twitter today. And I remember thinking like, oh, am I just more of a group as a human than most humans are? Like, am I as a singular human showing group thinking behavior in my actions? I don't know. So I just brain dumped on you a little bit.
No, it's good. I just, one question. Go ahead.
You keep saying that you feel.
Oh, one second. What's that, Nini?
No, it's okay. I wanted a little more clarity for the blog. So, because you said you were.
Yeah, I think I gave that to you, right? Like, I think I gave you something there, right?
You did. It was really good. I'm just like you said, because it's going to feel a little disjointed if you don't go into when you said that you're an emotionally productive person. Like, what does that look like? Like, what sort of emotions help you be more productive?
Lack of fear.
Okay.
You know, I'm not scared to ideate. I have a tremendous relationship with time. I'm so tired of people like not doing shit because they're scared of wasting time, as if their time was so valuable.
How
the people that talk about waste, by the way, here's a whole nother rant. The fuckers that talk about wasting time is the least valuable. Literally, like on the record, the 500 fuckers that I've heard most say, I don't want to waste time. Their time is actually the least valuable I know. You know, so like I have a good relationship with time. I don't conform to norms. I'm willing to be, it's happening right now. I'm willing to have a different meeting than the fucking meeting that was scheduled to be had. So I'm in constant ideation mode, right? I'm always listening, even though I talk a lot. The reason video conferencing works for me is I need human reaction to what I say. And if this was on a conference call, I don't get that. So I'm always looking for feedback loops. My speaking a lot of times is, in essence, to get something more out of me. I'm talking right now, really, to the five of you that know me well. You know, I'm excited where Sid was going to go. I just wanted to let you finish. But like, Sid's got a question which is going to build. Andy's got a thought now, right?
You know, I think the feedback loops is an article in itself. I think
I'm a human feedback loop.
Yeah.
By the way, it's why I interrupt.
Yeah. But it's everything. It's how to navigate, how you navigate business. It's also how you can navigate your social media content if you're a small business.
100%.
Yeah.
So those are all, what's that, Sid?
You keep talking about the feeding the energy of the room. I think you've been talking about it. This is the processing version of it. Like, why more people in the room, like, makes you more energetic and more excited, because you're probably
getting more feedback loops.
Points.
You're probably right.
Behavior.
And
you've said it in different versions as well, where you say, like, people think I talk a lot, but I'm listening. And I think you're probing people. And there's versions of, like, I'm just...
By the way, you want to go very deep? It's probably why I have a comedic element to my keynote style, because laughter is such an affirmation. You know what's even funnier? It's probably why I curse on stage. Like, now I'm just like fully in the zone right now. Just thinking.
That's why you'll say fuck in a business room, just to be able to gauge and react to how the people in that room respond.
You know what's funny though? But I don't. And this is why it tricked me. Mm-hmm. I think this is so omni for me. Mm-hmm. I never say it. It never has ever crossed my mind. I'm so natural with this process, Andy, that I never thought I was doing that. Notice how I just said maybe that's why. That was literally the first time in my life that I'm like, oh, fuck, maybe this is why I curse more than because I love Richard Pryor and Chris Rock, is that I'm just one with this feedback loop, and that's just one of the triggers for feedback. Because I know when I curse the first time, I can feel the room if I need to stay away from it after that.
Mm-hmm. I always think about blood in the water as like, I mean, sorry, yeah, blood in the water as
right when
smoke to fire. Is that the same thing to you or not?
That's a really good point. Probably not, as my first quick reaction. Blood in the water is the analogy people use, that sharks go right to the blood in the water.
Yeah,
that means there's an indicator that there's something to be done. No, it's actually different. Blood in the water is blood in the water is the moment when fire probably comes on from smoking, D-Rock.
Yeah, that was thinking. Yeah.
But smoking is like a process. Smoking to fire, the smoke in your analogy is me swimming in the water. I'm always swimming.
Right.
I'm always swimming. I'm always swimming.
Fire in the blood in the water.
That's right. That's right. And this, I mean, we're getting very... people need to learn... By the way, this might be the best video we could ever put out. Yeah, unfortunately, we're not recording.
Like, that's audio.
That's audio we could ever put. Hey, everybody in the podcast, what you're listening to is, this is true ideation. This is how ideas work. I talk about ideas. These kind of conversations are why I can get and others can get to ideas. Too many people don't put themselves. Everyone's so fucking structured. School fucked you all.
What?
Go to class. You know, like.
Everyone's so fearful of getting that feedback loop, posting the video, doing that thing to then react to, which
it's a lot of things. They're not absolute statements, but a lot of people grow up in a structure like 9 to 9:30, you do this, 9:30, you do this.
I don't want to downplay how structured you are. Like, I feel like there's a, you know, you're so structured.
No, that's so funny. That's such an interesting point. Such a great point.
Structured. You're actually more structured than any human I know. Because you live and die by your calendar.
Minute by minute, hour by hour.
Like, that's the most
this is an incredible conversation. This is like my favorite conversation I've ever had. Not even kidding. You're right, D-Rock. I'm so wildly structured.
I'm the most efficient
person. You know what it is? I'm macro structured, but micro unstructured. I'm being serious.
I thought it was the other way around.
No, I think I'm
you're
macro.
Micro, it's macro because
it doesn't work.
I'm macro structured. My entire thing is structured, but I can go into a meeting and completely break it if I think that's the right thing to do.
A day in a year, super structured. every minute, super not structured.
Correct. That's right.
Because he's interpreting the smoke and the signals.
Right. If I go into a meeting that's 30 minutes long and I realize 13 seconds in this is a bullshit meeting, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's why I was out in school. That's why school lost me. Like if I naturally felt that I was out and I was like, look, the periodic table does not have a shot with me long term. It was really hard for me to really go in. Fuck, man, this is super interesting. This is a really, I love this. I really love it.
So what do you think that's...
What did we accomplish here?
to me, like, what does that feel, though?
What's that, brother?
You being able to interpret smoke or blood in the water and there's no actual fire in this fucking room, I'm going to get out of here. Is that intuition? And is that innately, like, you're
it's
born...
It's intuition because I did it too early in my life. It's self-awareness, which is natural. These are the big questions, right? How much of this is, you know, I always talk about like natural, like how much am I just beautiful is something I think about a lot. Like how much of this was just given? You know, when I say beautiful,
you're
you know what I mean? No, stop. But you know where I'm going, right? Like I think in life we interpret certain things that are all the same thing, but some are like earned and some aren't. Like if,
no,
if you're naturally gorgeous, different thing happen in life. Yeah. Like, you know, but what I like is it's hard now. Listen, there's plastic surgery, there's eating right. There are things now. It's like, hey, go be beautiful. Like this is why, you know, going to therapy and all these things matter. Like, listen, you just saw the video. I don't know if any of you watched it. Going through the physical health transformation was the biggest unlock for me ever. I don't know if I didn't do the health thing, if I would be as passionate talking about the things I talk about every day, because I would have felt that it was just fully natural and that it didn't matter how hard people worked on it. Whereas with the health thing, I can see it. And when I tell you I'm the least natural person that good health, like last 30 minutes before this meeting, I worked out with Mike. We did abs. When I tell you I didn't like any of the 30 minutes, I didn't like any of it. I'm fucking 6 years in. I hate it.
Can we bring this back to the conversation of like when you first felt smoke and fire with your health? Maybe that could be cool. And then how you solved that?
Yeah, I mean that's what happened. By the way, from 32 on, when I gained some like maybe 10 pounds fast, I was like, uh oh. And then, you know, my grandfather died from, you know, heart disease, and like I feel like I'm built like him, and my uncle has, you know, and I'm like, okay, like don't be a dick, right? But from 32 to like 38. Like I had like four different trainers. They were all bullshit, but it was smoke. It was more than what I was doing in my 20s. And it was on my mind, And then it really, as I started to travel more, you know, I always think that one of the great things that happened to me is I was also Eastern European. So like natural bags under my eyes, you know, like some of the, no, I'm being serious. Like, you know, like some people like are really unhealthy, but they look like I had a lot of good things. Like I like that I knew, like those things play at you because you see them, they're in your face, you can't see inside, right? And so I started having a lot of conversations, many more times in my quietest periods. The conversation of let's get my health together started hitting me, and drop in a bucket, more momentum. And then I talk, and you've heard this, then I had that moment on the plane, head on the fucking thing. And I was like, fuck this. On my 40th birthday, I can now afford it. I need a babysitter. It was the unlock. I need a babysitter. I'm really good to D-Rock. I'm not good to myself. I need to be accountable with somebody else, not myself. I don't compete with myself. I compete with you. I'm not accountable to me, but I'm good to you. Like, and so like once I realized I needed a human to not let down, like Mike literally just now was like, hey, let's keep it tight this week. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get a little bit better for Mike. You know, like, and so, and then what happened was, you know, I first class. So I got on first, I'm like first in the plane right away. I'm like, I'm doing this at 40. And by the time that plane landed, I decided to do it right away. Smoke the fire. You know, 6 years of combos, and five failed, you know, trainer attempts. Mike Vacanti's was an understudy of the trainer that I last failed with. right? So, you know, 4 failed trainers, 6 years, and the 2 years prior from 36 to 38, monthly conversations with myself, not yearly, in the last 6 months, but multiple times a month, in the fucking days leading up to when I decided on that plane, probably 4 times randomly quick thoughts, smoke. And what I have is action. And my mom talks a lot about her being less like fire, more smoke all the time. So the question is, what's that in me that triggers me to do something about it? Because people get to 99 trying to fix their issues.
Well, I think most people are all smoke. They're always like, hey, I can do this, hey, I can do this,
Or is my definition of smoke need refinement of being honest with yourself and being accountable? Because I think most people are smoke blaming other people and bullshitting themselves.
They don't actually, there's a stage before the smoke, which is
denial,
awareness of the smoke.
That's right. I think a lot of things that I talk about, it's like everything. I've put out the ingredients probably over the last decade. At some point in a book, in one speech, in one execution, I'm going to cook the perfect meal. I really believe that. That's what, as I turn 45 this Saturday, I think about the next 45 because 90 feels about right, you know, just does for me because I think I'll work in my 80s. 90 feels retirement, meaning death, meaning like just old, meaning just like, or like, fuck it. Like, let me just do this, like, whatever that is. Like 90 is the first number that hits my radar. Like 88's like, I'm going. 90 is the first time in my brain that I'm like, okay, it could be different. So right now, so 45 is an interesting age for me. No, I'm serious. I feel like I'm walking into the halftime. Like I'm walking off the field this Saturday. Like we're going into halftime. And honestly, it makes me feel incredible. I feel like my most powerful. I think 45 to 50, if this analogy plays out, ends up being the half decade because it's going to be my halftime adjustments. And I've been feeling it. I've been feeling like I've been back to smoke. I feel like 43 to 45 has all been one big game of halftime adjustments. I've been more self-aware, more talking about my shortcomings, more like thinking about shit, going through stuff, Anyway, I got to go. Love you. All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighter review is New Here by Jolene Geo. Just started listening to podcasts, and I knew you were my first listen, and the only one I really knew was out here making content on each platform. Now you're my first and second podcast, even after getting recommendations. Your content is great, and the accessibility and the different content interests, everyone can get something out of one of your shows. Thank you and every one of your guests for breaking things down and being so transparent. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to learn more. Thanks to Jolene Geo. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.